Thank you for downloading this podcast from Victory Outreach Manchester. We pray that this message will bless your life as you listen.
Is there anybody grateful? Anybody thankful? To the one that saved you? To the one that set you free? To the one that delivered you? Amen. So we're in the right place. Amen. You can be seated. Amen. I thank the Lord for my salvation. What a privilege it is to share at the Elevate service tonight. What an honor it is to be entrusted with God's pulpit, and I don't take it lightly. And it's just, I thank Pastor Paul and the team just for the privilege. But time's gone on, so let's go straight to the meat. Amen. Can somebody say amen? 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. And the Word of God reads, it says, "How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God." And that's what we are. Father, just anoint your word in this place right now. Let it penetrate. Let it get to the deepest place, Father God. Let every heart be open to what you want to speak through me right now, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. 1 John 3, verse 1, it says, "How great is the Father's love." See, we could just stop right there. Because he's been good to us, hasn't he? He's been amazing. What he's done in our lives, he's, like I said, he's saved us, he's set us free, he's delivered us, he's restored us, he's given us another chance. When everyone else gave up, he never gave up. He was always there. He was a good, good father. And I just want to make mention, happy Father's Day. What a privilege it is to be a father, and even those that desire to be fathers, what a privilege. I had the privilege this morning when my little boy came downstairs and said, "Dad, I've made you a card. And I'll do anything you want me to do today." I was blown away. It lasted about 5 minutes. But it still felt good. Because he made a point in it. He was holding it. He was keeping it for Saturday. "I've got something to tell you, Dad. I've got something to tell you." And he burst through the door in the morning and said, "There's your card. I made that for you. And I'll do anything you want me to do." And it really blew me away. And that's like our Heavenly Father. He loves us. He's always there for us. He's strong enough to protect us. He's engaged enough to teach us. He's tender enough to hug us. And he's alive enough to play with us, because the Father loves us so much. And one thing, when we understand and we comprehend how much the Father loves us. Because sometimes you maybe have not had your earthly father there, or you maybe have had. We heard Pastor Paul sharing this morning. He had an excellent dad. His dad was there for him. His dad was a gentleman. He looked up to his dad. But you might be in here tonight, and maybe your dad wasn't there for you. But I want to let you know that your Heavenly Father is there for you, that he loves you, that he'll never leave you nor forsake you. And the good thing about it, when we read God's word, it's like reading a letter for your dad. It's like reading the words for you, a letter for your father. Because I love what it says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. It says, "All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong, and it teaches us to do what is right." Is that not a good, good father? That he teaches us what is true. That he makes us realize what's wrong in our lives when he pinpoints certain things in our lives. And he's there, and he corrects us when we're wrong, and he teaches us to do what is right. Because our Heavenly Father trains, and he corrects, and he teaches us. Why? Because he wants us to be the best. He wants us to be the best. He wants us to be the best that he has called us to be. He ain't called us to be second best. He has called us. He says we're fearfully and wonderfully made. That he has a great plan for our lives. And he wants us to succeed. He wants us to make it. And the good thing about it, when you get into God's word, it encourages you. It encourages you. And he says, no matter what, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That no matter what your past experiences you've had with your own father, but your Heavenly Father loves you. And tonight, in this time, I want us to focus on two things. That I believe that when I was praying and I was preparing for this, it's two things about knowing your father and being a father. And I believe that our Heavenly Father showed us his love so we can show our love to others. And I believe that the first thing that he does, that he rescues us. How many people in here that God rescued you? That God came into your little world and shook it up and pulled you out and he rescued you. He turned your life around. He placed your feet on the solid ground. He gave you some dignity. He gave you a belonging. He gave you a place where you could call home. See, it says in Psalm 107, verse 19, it said, Lord, help. How many people cried that? Lord, help. Get me out of this situation. Lord, help. Get me out of this place. I've made some wrong choices. I've made some bad decisions. Lord, help. It says, Lord, help. They cried in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. See, God rescues us from a place of distress, and he brings us into a place of belonging. It brings us into a place where we can find our feet, that God rescued you. There's maybe some people in here that God rescued you from addiction. Or maybe God rescued you from a controlling relationship. Or maybe God rescued you from depression or loneliness or guilt and shame or from abuse. Or he rescued you from your own destruction. But no matter where you came from, God rescued you and he brought you to a place where you can shine, a place where you can be everything that God has called you to be. Can somebody say amen tonight? See, by restoring us, because when we come into the Lord, we come as damaged goods. And that's not just the homes. We come into church and we come as damaged goods. We come as broken lives. That we've been let down, that we've been discouraged, that you know what, that maybe people gave up on you. But we come into church and God welcomes us. And he allows us to be free and he allows us to be who he has called us to be. Without the shackles, without the chain, without the condemnation. Because the Bible's clear and it says there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ. Because sometimes when we come in with that condemnation. We come in with that shame and we come in with that guilt and we come in with that doubt and we come in with that fear. But it says there's no condemnation. There's no guilt, there's no shame. And it says in Colossians 1 verse 13, it says, for he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear son. See, we were in the kingdom of darkness. You might have had a job, you might have not been a drug addict, you might have thought you had it all together, but you were in darkness. And God brought you into his wonderful light. He rescued you. Why? Because he loves you. He rescues you because he has a plan for you. He rescued you because he sees the finished article. He rescued you because he sees the vision and he sees what you can become in Christ. He sees what you can do all things through Christ Jesus who gives you the strength. But sometimes when we come in, we don't believe that. We don't believe that because fear has disabled us. Fear has disabled us, and people have told us all our life that, you know what, you maybe never make it. You maybe not amount to this. You're going to be this or you're going to be that. But God says, no, you're my child. You're my child, and I've called you, and I have a plan for you, and I will use you in the kingdom of God. See, to rescue means to save from danger or harm. To rescue means to save and from that danger or that harm, because we were heading for destruction. We were heading to the pit of hell. We were heading for that life, but God in his grace and his mercy says, you know what? No, I'm going to rescue you and I'm going to place you in a place where you can be everything that I've called you to be. See, that's why he rescues us. Isaiah 41 verse 10 says, don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. That's some strong words there. That when he rescues us, that you don't need to be afraid because he is with you. You just need to keep saying yes and keep stepping out and keep trusting the Father that he knows best for you. You keep trusting that the plans he has for you is good plans. But it's sometimes so easy to be discouraged. Because sometimes we get in a place where you know what, where it's not about us, it's about him. But for all our life, it's been about us. We've made the decisions. We've done that. We've done that on how we feel. But when you start to do it, how when the Spirit leads you, he leads you into the breakthrough. He leads you into the spacious place. He leads you into opportunities. He leads you into a place where you can become so much. I will hold you up with my victorious right arm. See, sometimes we fall down, but he holds us up. He picks us up, and we all make mistakes. We all fall short. We all make wrong choices. We all make bad decisions. But when we come to God, when we come to Him and we're real and we're genuine, He picks us up with His victorious right hand, and He says, you know what? You can stand. You can stand. You can stand and keep going forward. See, He rescues you not to go backwards, but He rescues you to go forwards. See, all our life, sometimes we were going backwards thinking we were doing good. But I tell you right now, He rescues us so we can go forward and do God. See, it's not about doing good, it's about doing God. He rescues us for that. I love what it says in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. It says, no temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide a way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it. See, He rescues us so we can endure it. Because the Bible's clear that those who endure to the end shall be saved. See, you have to have that endurance. You need to keep going. You need to keep going no matter what comes against you, no matter what people are saying about you, no matter the circumstances that can get thrown against you, but you need to keep enduring. You need to keep going because He ain't rescued you to fall back. He ain't rescued you to do that. He has rescued you because He wants you to go forward. Because there is so much things that He has in store for us. See, the best is yet to come. We need to understand that. No matter where you are today, you may have strayed off the path. You might be in a place due to bad decisions. But I want to let you know that the Father says He loves you. That He loves you. And you don't need to stay in the place where you are. You don't need to stay in that place of the bad decision or the wrong choice. You need to get up and you need to get back on track. You need to get up and get back in the race. You need to get up and get your eyes fixed upon Jesus once more. Because the only reason that we fall and go back is because we take our eyes off Jesus. And as long as our eyes are fixed upon Jesus, trouble may come, giants may come, problems may come. But as long as your eyes are fixed upon Jesus, He will give you that endurance that you will keep going, that you will keep going. That you will keep going no matter what. See, I love the story of David and Goliath. And I want to read a bit in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 32. It says, don't worry about the Philistines, David told Saul. I'll go and fight him. Don't be ridiculous, Saul replied. There is no way you can fight the Philistine and possibly win. You're only a boy. And he's been a man of war since his youth. But David persisted. See, sometimes you've got to persist. You've got to persist. You cannot settle for second best. You need to be persistent. You need to be persistent. I've been taking care of my father's sheep and goats, he said. When a lion or a bear comes to steal a lamb from the flock, I go after it with a club and rescue the lamb from its mouth. If the animal turns on me, I catch it by the jaw, club it to death. I have done this to both lions and bears. And I'll do this with the pagan Philistine too, for he has defied the armies of the living God. Then the Lord who rescued me from the claws of the lion and the bear will rescue me from this Philistine. Saul finally consented. All right, go ahead, he said, and may the Lord be with you. See, He rescues us, and He's given us such a great mandate. He's given this ministry such a great mandate that we have to reach the treasures out of darkness, the riches stored in secret places. But there's going to be many giants that come our way. But He ain't rescued you to shrink back. He ain't rescued you He has rescued you because He wants you to go forward. He has rescued you because He's given you the goods to fight any giant that comes your way. And when God rescued you from the lion and the bear, He's preparing you for your Goliath. Some of you are getting prepared for your Goliath. Some of you have had the victory over the bear. You've had the victory over the lion. Now you're going to get ready for the victory over the giant. Can somebody say amen? And just like He was with you then, He will be with you now. See, and another thing I want to look at, that He restores us, He rescues us. But why does He rescue us? He rescues us to become a reflection of Him. See, He rescues us so we will become a reflection of Him. He rescues us because He wants us to reflect Him. Ephesians 5 verse 1 and 2 says, imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. See, we are rescued from our own life to reflect Christ in our new life. See, we are rescued from that old way of living to reflect Christ in our new way of living. See, we don't act the same. We don't react the same. We don't speak the same. We don't present ourselves the same. Because now we are children of God and we reflect Christ in everything that we say, everything that we do, everything that we are, we reflect Christ. Whatever we do, we have to reflect Christ. Our children, natural or spiritual, should see Christ in us. They should see Christ in us, the way we act and the way we react. I've got four young children with my wife, Simone. And as a father, it's an amazing privilege. But sometimes it's tough. Sometimes it's challenging. I remember the other morning there, I got up. I have to get up early. I got up at 4:45 to pray. I put my coffee on, made my coffee, sat through in the living room, got the music on, created the atmosphere, opened up the Word of God, and I was led to 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18. It says, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. I said, wow, that's a great scripture. The next minute I heard the footsteps upstairs. And I like to myself, it's Rocco time. See, Rocco's a baby. He doesn't understand. Just sit there, Daddy's praying right now. He wants Weetabix and he wants them now. And you know what? But it had to get to me that place where, you know what, where I say, all right then, let me just do it. But there's been many times in my life where I've fell short with my children because it's a journey. It's a journey. God is doing a work in us, but I thank God for his grace. Because sometimes, you know what, we can lose it. We're normal. How many people have ever lost it, amen? See, we can lose it. I've seen myself many a times with my children, and I'm always like, you're flapping. She's like, what are you doing? She's like, you're the adult. And I've lost it. And I get myself and I say, you know what, I'm sorry. Because sometimes, you know what, we do fall short. Sometimes we do fall short. Sometimes we do make mistakes. But being a father is a journey. I'm only learning now how to deal with different issues. That I can't treat each kid the same because they're different stages in life. And that's like us when we're discipling people. We can't disciple everybody the same. Everybody's different. Everybody's got different issues. Everybody's coming from different backgrounds. Everybody's coming from different places. So we have to be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. We have to be sensitive when the Spirit is telling us to lead this person this way. As long as we're pointing them to Christ. That's the main thing, as long as we're pointing them to Christ. But it might be a different journey for each person. You can't work with the same person the same way. Because the way that you speak to someone and speak to another person, you can't speak like to another person. And it's the same as being a father with my children. The way that I treat Naomi is it can't be the same way that I treat Nadia. Because they're different ages, I'm just learning to be sensitive to the Spirit of God. That there's different needs, and God supplies all our needs so we can take care of other needs. He supplies our needs. He gives us the instruction. He gives us the leading. And one thing that I've learned is that each child requires and desires your time, not your iPad. And the reason why I say that, because many a times the kids come home and they want to do their schoolwork. And they're trying to read to me. And I'm on the iPhone. I'm checking something. And Naomi just tells me straight, what are you doing? Are you listening to me or are you watching that? And when an 8-year-old tells you that, you listen. You listen. Because you know what? It takes our full attention. And that's what God gives us. He gives us his attention. So we have to be giving other people their attention. We have to be walking with people. We have to be leading with people. We have to be meeting with people. We have to be discipling people. See, he restores us to reflect him. And the question is, who are you reflecting? What are you reflecting? What do you see when you look in the mirror? What does people see when they see you outside the church? Because we can all be holy, holy on a Sunday. But if the same people see you on a Monday and a Tuesday, you're still holy, holy. Or if they see you on a Thursday, is it still praise the Lord, brother and sister? Or you lose that patience. I mean, I was on the bus the other day there, and I was sitting in the bus, and the bus stops. I don't understand why buses do this. You'll run for a bus, and you'll go to a bus stop, and the bus is there. And you jump on the bus, and the man parts up, and he goes outside for a fag. And you're like, mate, what are you doing, man? How long are you going to be here for? I've got another 5 minutes before I can move, brother. And you're like, get it together, man. Because we're like that sometimes, isn't it? They've got a job to do. And we have to be patient with them the same that we need to be patient with other people. See, you have to be patient with other people. That's part of the reflection. Never giving up in someone. I thank God that there's been people on my journey that have never gave up in me. I thank God that there's been people in my journey that have said, you know what, I can see potential in you. You know what, you maybe don't see it right now, but I see it. And you know what, you're going to make this. I thank God for the Pastor Pauls and the Sister Vickies. I thank God for this ministry that when everyone else gave up in me, this ministry says, you know what, there's a place where you can belong. And that's like us. He brings us into a place because he wants us to reflect him. He's given us chance after chance. His grace is sufficient. He's the God of the first chance. He's the God of the second chance. He's the God of the third chance. But you know what? He never gives up in us. So never, ever give up in someone. Never give up on anyone. Never give up on anyone. And the only way that I can keep my reflection strong is that we can keep our reflection strong is if our prayer life is strong. See, the only way that you can keep that reflection reflecting is when your prayer life is strong. Because the minute your prayer life becomes weak, then your reflection becomes blurred. Because who are you reflecting if you're not praying? Who are you reflecting if you're not spending time with your Heavenly Father? Who are you reflecting if you've not got a devotional life? Who are you reflecting if you're not a worshiper? Who are you reflecting? Because you ain't reflecting Christ. See, we have to be at that place where our prayer life is strong. I've learned that we're having kids that my prayer life needs to be strong. Because if they want to see a godly father, if they want to see a godly example, if they want to see someone that they desire to follow, then you know what? My relationship with Christ has to be tight. Because if my relationship is tight with Christ, then it can be tight with other people. But the minute it starts getting slack, then you start making wrong decisions. Then you start reacting the wrong way. Then you start chopping the wrong way. Then you start judging. Then you start complaining. Then you start moaning. Then you start mumbling and grumbling. But when your relationship is strong, you will always see the best in someone. You will always see by the pride. You will always see past the anger. You will always see past that stuff because you're looking through the eyes of Christ. But when you look through the eyes of self, you will just start to point problems out at people. You will start to look at faults. But when you look through the eye of Christ, you're looking for faith. You're looking and saying, you know what? You can do this, brother. You can do this, sister. You maybe have been knocked down, but you ain't staying down. You maybe have made a bad mistake, but that's in the past. We're going forward now. We're mobilizing now. We're taking ground now. We're in the spacious place now. See, we need to be a reflection and not miss the opportunity and become a deflection. See, we need to have that reflection. When I pray, when you read that word of God and it starts to challenge you and it starts to get to the places inside you. I remember there was a couple of weeks ago that Pastor Paul was preaching. He was preaching about compromising. And I remember sitting in that front row and I thought I was the only person in the church. Have you ever been like that? In a Sunday message? And the pastor's preaching and you know it's for you. You know you've been falling short in certain areas. And he's up there and he's reflecting. He's reflecting, the anointing's reflecting. And it's hitting that place. And I remember I'd been thinking about going jogging again. Because how many know that we can think about doing right things? But sometimes if we don't put legs to their thoughts, then it's just a thought. And I remember sitting there and I was like, boom, 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 boom. It's like I was getting spiritually slapped. And I went home and I said, you know what? I'm going to get up in the morning and I'm going to get my running trainers out. It took me a little while to find them because I'd hid them. And I did it. And I've done it. I've done a few runs. And you know what? I'm going to be committed to it. Why? Because I don't want to compromise. I want to be everything that God has called me to be. When God challenges me, I want to step up to the challenge. Because when he reflects, when you reflect in Christ, people want to see a winner. People want to see a champion. There's no point telling someone that you ain't living. How can you preach something to someone that you ain't living yourself? So I don't want to be preaching something that I ain't living myself. I remember I met up with a man of God a few months ago, and he was saying to me about, you know what? He said, what you're doing now, he says, it's not even for you. It's for your children's children. He said, so what you do now is what they're going to look at down later down the line. And I've been thinking about that the last couple of days. And I'm like to myself, what am I actually reflecting to my children? What are you reflecting to your children, spiritually or naturally? What are you reflecting to those that you're working with? Who are you reflecting? I hope it's Christ. Because I believe that, you know what, that we're coming in a time that people are looking for those role models. People are looking for those people that they can say, you know what, I'm following him as he follows Christ. One thing I love about Pastor Paul, that you know what, he's a man of God. He's a man of God. He's a man of God. And you know what, I've got to that place that I've knew him over the years, that when he says something, you know what, I take it as for the Lord. Why? Because I trust him as he follows the Lord. And we need to get to that place. And as Kieran, as he makes his way up, it's a couple of minutes to six. I want to ask you a question. What are you reflecting? What are you reflecting in your family? Just there before I come out there, I got a chance to speak to my older daughter. I've got two older daughters up in Scotland. One at 22 and one's 23 next week. In the last couple of weeks, my oldest one, Danielle, she was in the women's home for a bit. She's been contacting me. I've been really, really praying and really, really praying for restoration because I was never there for a dad when she was growing up. I was a drug addict. Heroin was my kid at the end of the day. And I was praying. I was like, Lord, please restore this. Please restore this relationship back. Then all of a sudden, she WhatsApped me. Hey, Dad, how you doing? I was like, wow, man, this is an answer to prayer. So I started WhatsApping her back and that, and I've been in contact with her the last couple of weeks, and she's going to come down for a visit and that. But I got a chance to actually FaceTime her before I come out. And she's like, Happy Father's Day. And it blew me away because, you know what, it's like, the things that I reflected when she had grown up wasn't godly. But now she's at an age, the things that I'm reflecting now are godly. And there's a difference. And there's a lot of healing that needs to take place, and there's a lot of bridges that need to be built, but we serve a big God. We serve a God that you know what, of restoration. And then you might be in here today, and you know what, you might have been in a similar relationship with your children or whatever. But I want to let you know that God can restore. And God's plan is restoration. And as we stand to our feet tonight, what have you been reflecting? What have you been reflecting? You maybe need to come to the altar tonight and repent because what you've been reflecting doesn't bring glory to God. What you've been watching or what you've been doing doesn't bring glory to God. Or you might just need to respond tonight because you've made some bad choices or decisions. And you know what? You might need rescuing again so you can reflect him again. And as the worship team sing, I just want to open the altars, and I just want us to encourage us to come and make an altar before the Lord.
I've heard a thousand stories of why they think you're like, and I've heard the tender whispers of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I am never alone. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you.
He loves you.
It's who I am.
He loves you. Come on, lift your hands.
Perfect in all of your ways.
Lift your hands all over this place.
You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect. You are perfect in all. You are perfect in all of your ways. Perfect in all of your ways. Thank you, Jesus.
There might be people in here tonight and you say, you know what? I'm feeling discouraged today. Because maybe due to loss or you know, be able to children or really be able to see your father the day, or maybe your father's no with you no longer or that. But I want to encourage you right now. Say that Jesus loves you. That he loves you so much. That he loves you so much. And he just wants to embrace you. And he just wants to hold you. And he just wants you to know tonight that he will never leave you nor forsake you. That he sees those tears at night. He sees that heart right now. That heart that is hurting right now. That heart that is hurting right now. And he says, you know what? Just trust me. I'm your father. Just trust me now. I'm the good, good father. I will be there for you. I'll never let you go. I'll be there with the end. Since we sing that song once more, good, good father, just want you to be assured tonight that he is a good, good father. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, all over this place, Lord. We declare that you are a good, good Father. And Father, we pray in the name of Jesus for every man and every woman in this place, Lord, that they will know the truth, and the truth will always set them free. That they will have that relationship with you. That they will draw closer to you. That they know that you've rescued them. So they can reflect you. And let them be a reflection of you and their family. Let them reflect you in their workplace. Let them reflect you in their community. Let them reflect you wherever they go, Father. We come against every bit of fear. Every bit of fear that holds us back from reflecting you. When we know we should tell people how good you are. But that fear comes in sometimes. And Lord, we pray that you can break that fear right now in the name of Jesus. For you did not give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, of love, and a sound mind. That you have called us to be more than conquerors. That you have called us to be champions. That you have called us to be winners, Lord. And that's what we are because of you. So all right now, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. And we say, Happy Father's Day. Heavenly Father, Happy Father's Day. For being there for us. Never letting us down. Never letting us go. Being there to the end. And we honor you, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody says, Amen. Let's praise the Lord. Amen. Let's finish with praise.
There's no reason for sadness. You put joy in my soul. Turn my morning to gladness. Now I sing a new song.
Declare that there is no one else like
Victory Outreach Manchester is a family in the city, and we are here for you. Visit us every Sunday at 9 a.m. and 11:30 a.m. Go to victoryoutreachmanchester.com for more information. See you soon.